Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Genesis 17, and last time we were talking about how God took Abram from hope into faith. And we need to understand the difference between Bible hope and faith. Again, Bible hope is not this wishing, you know, we blow out the candles and we make a wish. We're just hoping and wishing. No, that's wishy-washy hoping. That's not Bible hoping. When the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about being convinced of something. It's talking about believing something without doubting, but it's in the future tense. You're believing something will come to pass. So it's a lot like faith. It's a lot like faith because faith, of course, believes without doubting. It's convinced, just like hope. But the difference with faith is in the present tense or in the past tense. You're either believing something in something that has happened or it is happening right now, past or present tense. Hope is believing that it will come to pass. It's going to happen. We have the hope of heaven. We're not in faith about heaven. We're in hope about heaven. We are fully convinced that we are going to heaven. But there's nobody here, I can guarantee you right now, that believes that they are in heaven. Well, they've already gone there. You're all in the future tense concerning heaven. So we have this great hope where we will see the Lord someday, where we will have mansions, a very real place, and we all believe in it, right? We're excited about it. We have great expectation concerning these things. So Abraham had hope that God was going to bless him, God was going to prosper him, and that he was going to be the father of many nations. Even before he had a child, and it looked like he never would have a child, he was believing what God said, that it would come to pass. And then God transitioned it and said to him in verse 5 of chapter 17, I have made you a father of many nations. And this again is before his promised seed was born. Before the child that God had promised him he would have was even ever born, God says, I have, past tense, made you a father of many nations. So in other words, it's done. It is finished in the spirit. It's completed. It's done. So from that point on, God had changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And that's how people greeted him. And that's how he referred to himself. I am Abraham. I am a father of many nations. So we need to recognize in life, you know, by the words that are coming out of our mouth, we need to recognize where we're at. Are we in hope or we are in faith? Hope is not a bad thing. It's a God thing. But even though hope is good at waiting on the promise of God, it's not good at receiving the promise of God because it's always in the future tense. So if we want to actually take what God has promised us, then we're going to have to get over into faith. Where we bless God, we got it. It is done. It is finished. So now here in Genesis chapter 17, again, we're looking at this development of Abraham's faith. And God comes and speaks with him. It says in verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Sarah, that means princess, or princess with God. So she was a sweetie. She was a princess. Of course, she just finished beating Hagar. And she was pretty rough with her and was pretty upset about some things. We saw some things. But now here God said, she's a princess. She's a princess with God. Hallelujah. A Jewish princess. You've all heard of those. Verse 16. I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Now remember, they just had Ishmael, or Abraham just had Ishmael through Hagar, his Egyptian servant. And so he's figured this is done. Ishmael's the one. And so, you know, we got this thing. And so God now, brings them into further revelation. Further revelation. And you know, that's how this faith life is. We go from faith to faith, glory to glory, which means we go from revelation to revelation. We go from understanding truth to understanding truth, and the light gets brighter and brighter. But things get clearer and clearer concerning God and concerning His plan for our life. That's how our faith is able to grow. It grows as our understanding grows, as we have greater revelation of the plan of God. So God says to him, I'm going to bless you in chapter 12. And then later on, God says to her, your children are going to inherit this land that I'm giving you. Of course, he doesn't have any children. But God said, you're going to have children. And then God comes to him again and reaffirms to him that he's gonna have children. And he's going to be a father of many nations. But he doesn't have specifics, so he begins to fill in the blanks. Him and Sarai fill in the blanks and decide how they're going to have these children that God has promised. But what they needed to do is they needed to wait for more revelation of this plan of God. And we got to watch about filling in the blanks when it comes to the plan of God for our life. We need to wait on Him. Make sure this is what He's telling us. Because there's a lot of people, they've gotten some revelation about some things, but then they added to it. And so we don't want to add to it, mess the whole thing up. We need to be patient and wait on God and let Him, who started giving us the plan, finish giving us the complete plan. So now, years later, God adds further light to Abraham concerning his children, and he says that Sarah is going to have a son, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. The woman's almost 100 years old. Verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He laughed. This isn't laughing in the Spirit. He's not laughing in the Holy Spirit. He's in the flesh, right there in the presence of God. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? And Abram said to God, that Ishmael might be before you. That Ishmael might live before you. Is Abraham believing and taking serious what God just told him? He is not. He is not taking serious what God just told him. That's interesting, isn't it? Here he is hearing from God. And you think, well, if you heard from God, I mean, you're going to have faith. But here he is hearing the word of God from God. And instead of mixing it with faith, he falls out laughing at God. He's not laughing with God. He's laughing at God. That's what he's doing. In fact, I looked up the word laugh here in the original Hebrew, and it means to mock, to sport, to make sport, toy with. So Abram is, God speaking something to him. When God speaks, I mean, it's serious stuff. God Almighty is just speaking to you about something. You don't play with that. You don't make light of that. And that's exactly what Abram was doing. He was making light of it so that he was, in essence, mocking what God just told him. Interesting, isn't it? Again, we don't see this man standing there with this unwavering faith yet. We still see a man, now almost 100 years of age, laughing at the promise of God. Laughing at it. Mocking. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Look at God's answer. God's not laughing. Then God said, no. No. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. More revelation. You know, God told him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He didn't tell him when. He didn't tell him when. And a lot of times, you know, God tells us stuff, and we think, you know, there's been so many things, you know, we've gotten in prayer, and we're like, woohoo, this is it. Oh, man. And now you're just looking around for it. And a week goes by, and another week goes by, and then a month goes by, and then another month goes by, and then a year goes by. And then another year goes by. And you start wondering, did I eat too much pizza? Did I really hear from God? You know, you start wondering because you look and you see how long it's taken. Because when you heard it, it felt like, ooh, it's all happening right now. So I'm sure that's how it was for Abraham. It's all happening right now. He didn't know when it was going to happen. And decades went by. And now God really gets specific. Sarah's going to do this thing, and it's going to be at the set time next year. Next year. So he knows now the time frame that this is going to happen. So it's always nice when you get more light on things. But when you don't have a whole lot of light, just walk in the light you have and trust God. Just trust God. Just believe God with what you do have. And don't be anxious about it. There's a lot of things we can get anxious about in life. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with this? And I remember one time I was driving in my car, and I pulled in the drive-thru of this bank, and I was sitting there, and I said, Lord, and I was asking him some questions about some things. I said, you know, I need to know this. I need to know this. And then these words came right back to my heart. And it was, do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know. And then I just picked up on it, got in the flow, and said, when you need to know it. I finished it. Do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know. When you need to know it. When you need to know it. And so from that point on, it's like, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to do what I know to do. And trust that God's watching out for me, and I'm going to know what I need to know when I need to know it. And of course, many times we feel like we needed to know it yesterday. But sometimes we don't need it to know it for another several years maybe. But a lot of times we want it now. We want to know now. We want that full understanding now. But God just wants us to trust him now and walk in the light of what we know now. And you know, I look at my life and I know, man, there's enough things right now for me to walk in, for me to not be worried about what I don't know. I mean, I got enough going on right now that I know to do to keep me busy. I don't have to sit here and worry about what I don't know. Be anxious about what I don't know. And I'm sure it's the same with you all. So just do what you know to do. You got plenty to do. Do it. Do what you know to do, and don't worry about the rest. Because if you're faithful what you know to do, God will be faithful to make sure you know what you need to know. When you need to know it. So God has given more light to him. He laughs. And then God comes and visits him again. Chapter 18. It says in verse 1. And this is very neat. Very interesting. Verse 1, it says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were where? Standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." Now, Abraham was a prophet. And what we actually see here is a manifestation of the word of wisdom. And he sees it in the form of a vision. He has a seeing and a knowing. Abraham, as the Bible says, he's sitting in the tent door. So he's sitting in his tent door, and then he looked, and three men were standing by him. So what does he see? He's sitting in the tent door, and he sees three men standing beside him. And then it says, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. Now, if they were standing by him, where is he? He's at the tent door. Then why is he running to meet them? Why would you run and meet somebody that's standing right next to you? See, he's having a manifestation of the Spirit. He saw himself with these three men by his tent. And he's probably thinking, what was that? He just saw something. And then a little while later, he looks up and he sees the three men. He saw them. And he knows that these men are supposed to be over here with me. I'm supposed to meet with these men. I'm supposed to visit with these men. So he goes running to meet the men that he saw when he was sitting in the door of his tent and saw those men standing beside him. Do you see that? And so this is one of the ways God will talk to us. Have you ever just kind of had a flash of something? You saw something. Well, you know, we need to be sensitive to that. Don't get crazy with it, but we need to be sensitive to that. And we need to understand that God will show us things that he wants us to know by just little flashes of something once in a while, little pictures once in a while. Sometimes you'll just see somebody's face flash before you. And I've seen different people's face, some people here in the congregation. All of a sudden, I see their face. And sometimes it's a happy face. And I say, well, thank God for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes I see a distressed look on their face. And I know I need to pray for them. Lord, I don't know what they're going through right now, but I ask you to help them in the name of Jesus. And I'll start praying for them, see? Remember, Paul the Apostle said, he said, I pray for you upon every remembrance of you. So there were times people were brought to his remembrance. And when they were, he took that seriously. He understood that was God bringing them to his remembrance, bringing them to his attention for him to do something about it. So Abraham was sensitive to how God communicated with him, and he understood that he was supposed to meet with these three men. And so these men would have just probably passed right on by had Abraham not understood what he was supposed to do. Thank God he understood what he was supposed to do because he was sensitive to the Spirit of God. Thank God for the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and how he'll help us. But maybe it's very subtle. Many times it's very subtle. You know, God doesn't, it's very rare God will boom from heaven and do something to just shake us to get our attention. Remember, he speaks in a small, still voice. He'll give us little pictures once in a while. He's not going to bombard us with stuff. He's not going to show us tons and tons of things. But he'll give us little bits and pieces here and there, just like he did with Abraham. And then Abraham responded to that. I wonder if we've missed some things by not responding to those little seeing and knowings, responding to those little promptings that we got from the Holy Spirit. And he'd just give you a little prompting on the inside. But he expects us to be sensitive enough to yield to him, to recognize him, and cooperate with him. That's our part. That's why we don't want to live carnal lives. That's why,
well, I believe you can live carnal and still go to heaven.
Yeah, but you can go to heaven a ding-dong. And miss out on a lot of heaven right here on earth. Miss out a lot of what God wanted to do in your life. I don't know, my life down here on earth is pretty important while I'm here. Is your life down here important to you? I don't want to miss it. Well, God expects us to live in a way where we're sensitive to him. This is why even Jesus fasted. Even Jesus was led into the wilderness to fast. Why? Because he had to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he had to live like you and I. He had to live by faith. So if we're just carnal and we're just full of the world, you might make heaven. But you're going to miss out on a lot of things God's trying to tell you and show you and help you out with. So that's why we have to be sensitive. Abraham is probably meditating, you know. He had this flash and he acted upon it. You know, I think sometimes that's what a deja vu is. How many of you know what a deja vu is? You know, where all of a sudden you're somewhere, you're doing something, you're like, man, I've been here before. I feel like this has already happened. Well, it's because you probably already have seen it in your heart. It was probably a significant enough situation, event in your life that God was already showing you this. God was already doing things to get you ready for it. And now it's like a deja vu to you. This has happened before. So we need to be sensitive. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to his promptings, to his voice, to his leading us in life. And that's how we're going to be able to keep ourselves from missing out on some divine appointments. Here was a divine appointment. Here the Lord himself was coming with two angels to visit with Abraham. Some might say, well, I mean, God would do that with Abraham, you know. Come and visit with Abraham like that. Two angels manifesting like that. I don't think that's going to happen in my time, in my life. Well, you remember what the Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 13, don't you? In verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly or unknowingly entertained angels. He says, he's telling you, this is New Testament, right here, New Testament, telling the church. Don't forget to entertain angels. Excuse me, entertain strangers. Why? Because some have unknowingly entertained angels. In other words, there might be some angels that want to sit with you and talk with you. And you wouldn't know it necessarily because they, you know, you wouldn't see their wings. They wouldn't show themselves to be angels. They would just disguise themselves as human beings. I wonder how many angels we've cut off on the road. Just a thought. I wonder how many angels that have actually been there to assist us in life, to help us out in life, but we didn't know it. I'd hate to think we treated them wrong. I'd hate to think that when we get to heaven, all of a sudden we're going to realize, oh, that was an angel trying to get my attention. And I just blew right past him saying, get out of my way. He was trying to slow me down. He's trying to keep me from getting into that accident up ahead. Is it possible? It's Bible, so it's possible. Amen. Verse 9, come down to verse 9. Then they said to him, now these are the three men, which is really the Lord and these two angels. They said to him, Abraham, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. So Sarah's right there in the tent. There's apparently, you know, another room. She's behind that door there. And it's obvious that the Lord has come really to speak to Abraham to help Sarah out here, help Sarah out here as well. He wants to help her faith out. And so verse 11 says, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? This word laugh is the same laugh that Abraham laughed at the Lord with. It's that mocking, treating lightly laugh. This isn't good. And now you understand, Sarah's already, you know Abraham's already talked to her about this. Abraham's already told her, Sarah, the Lord told me you're going to have a child. I laughed at him. It wasn't good. He looked at me very sternly. And he said, no. It's Sarah. She's going to have a child. And now the Lord comes and speaks in Sarah's presence that this is going to happen, and Sarah herself laughs. She does the same exact thing. Verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's a little, you can tell the Lord's not, he's not happy about this. You know, it's insulting to God when we don't believe him. It's insulting to him. We glorify him when we believe him, when we trust him. The more we can believe him for, the more we're honoring him. But it is a very dishonorable thing to disbelieve the Lord. It's very disrespectful. The Lord tells you something and you're like, oh, it ain't going to happen. I'm too old. The Lord's like, is anything too hard? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it. Oh, my. Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. No, I didn't laugh. So now she's resorted to lying. You know, we got to watch about lying when we get under pressure. It's more important, it would be better to be embarrassed than to lie before the Lord. Just take it. I mean, if you're embarrassed, just turn red and shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, I know I look stupid, but yeah. But don't lie. A lot of times people will lie just to make themselves look better. And lying is a serious thing. Satan is referred to as the father of lies. The father of lies. So here the mother of faith is yielding to the father of lies. She's yielding to the nature of the devil. So we don't want to give in to lying. And the Lord rebuked her, said, no, you didn't. It's interesting. It says that she laughed in her heart. You know, the Lord hears what's going on inside you. He hears what's going on in your heart. So we gotta take that serious too. Sometimes people, you can't hear their murmuring with your ears, but the Lord hears their murmurings in their heart. He hears their whining. He hears their complaining. He hears all this stuff that's going on in their heart. He hears that mocking that's going on in their heart. They look at you, and on the inside say, what is your head? The Lord hears that. He hears your attitude. He hears what's coming forth from inside you. So we need to take that serious. And of course, that's all part of wanting to please the Lord, but also be sensitive to him. We got to watch what's going on the inside of us. Chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Then Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh so that all who hear will laugh with me. Now that's a good laughter. See, now she's full of the joy of the Lord. So God's not against laughing. He's just against that mocking laughing. He's against you laughing at him. But praise God, when you get into faith, you yield to the Holy Spirit, you'll laugh with him. Hallelujah. I said you'll laugh with him. Because the Bible says that God sits in the heavens and laughs. So we know God laughs. So if we're going to yield to him, we're going to find ourselves laughing. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God has made me laugh. Has God ever made you laugh? How often? Okay. Verse 8. So the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. My margin says, laughing. And actually, in the Hebrew, it's the same word used for when Abraham laughed and when Sarah laughed. It's the same laughing. Here, in my Bible, New King James, it's translated scoffing. Scoffing. So he's scoffing. He's laughing. He's mocking. And who's he mocking? Who's he laughing at? Mocking and laughing, probably here at Isaac. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely Isaac. Now, Ishmael at this point, he was 14 years older than Isaac. Ishmael was. And so here, he's probably about 17 or 19 years of age, because Jewish tradition says that a child isn't weaned until about 3 or 5 years of age. So that's when this Ishmael was mocking. So he was probably about 17, 19 years old. So he's not this little kid anymore. He's a young man. He's a young adult, and he is accountable for his actions. It's not a light thing when a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, 19-year-old does something wrong. It's like, well, they're just a kid, not in the eyes of God. They're responsible for their actions now. That's why Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. So he's saying, you'll be judged for your actions. You are responsible before God, O young man, O youth. In what you do, God takes it seriously. So you need to too. So here he's mocking. Of course, we know that Hagar, remember, she despised Sarah after she had gotten pregnant with Ishmael. She despised, and she was mocking. So now we have Hagar mocking, and we have Ishmael mocking. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, what God is doing in Abraham's home. We got these two people in there scoffing and mocking. And so Sarah responds to it. She says to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Notice that, very displeasing in Abraham's sight. Very displeasing, that word there in the Hebrew. Displeasing means grievous, to be broken up. So Abraham he didn't just not like this. He was very grieved over this. He was hurting over this. He was broken up over this. This was really breaking him up. And it says in verse 12, but God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight. Don't let this thing grieve you like that. Don't let it cause you to get all broken up like this, Abraham, because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. That's interesting, because remember, Abraham got into trouble heeding the voice of his wife when she encouraged him to have a child through Hagar. Remember? He heeded the voice of his wife, and it wasn't a good thing. And then, of course, we go all the way back to the very beginning, and we get Adam heeding the voice of his wife, Eve. And that wasn't a good thing. He should never have done that. And so, we know you're never to heed the voice of your wife. Well, we could say that if we didn't have this here. Here we got God saying, listen to her voice. Why? Because she was speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. She was actually not speaking this time in the flesh. Eve was speaking in the flesh. He shouldn't have listened to that. Sarah, back talking about marrying Hagar, she was yielding to the flesh. Abraham should never have heeded that. He should never have listened to that. But here, she is yielding to the Holy Spirit. She is yielding to the heart of God, the will of God. In fact, her words are very prophetic. And we know that because they're re-spoken in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, 28. It says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who is born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who is born according to the Spirit, talking about Ishmael persecuting Isaac, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Notice that. It says, nevertheless, what does Sarah say? No. What does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? What is Scripture? That's the inspired word of God. So it wasn't just Sarah speaking here. Perhaps that's why Abraham, who is sensitive to the voice of God, is grieved and distressed, broken up over what Sarah just said to him. Because he knows this is God. This is God talking through her. And it hurts. It's hurting him. And so God himself had to speak to Abraham to reassure him concerning this thing. Cast out the bond woman and her son. Remove the flesh. Remove the flesh. You know, there's a time where you do have to separate. You do have to separate. And you got to watch saying this, because a lot of times folks will grab at that. Bible talks more about sticking it out, pressing through stuff. But really, this is a divorce right here because he's married to Hagar. And now he's got to let her go. He's got to send her out. And there'll be times where God will lead people to separate. Where God will lead people to divorce. Where God will lead family members to go different directions because of the situation. These folks were of the flesh. And they were mocking and they were ridiculing and they were only going to hinder the purpose and plan of God for Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. And it was time now. They had to go. And remember, both of them were responsible for their actions. They were repeated offenders. This is not the first time that they mocked. Mama did it. Now the son did it. This is something. This is how they're living. This is what they're doing. They're not appreciating and esteeming what they have in Abraham's house. They're not appreciating all the blessings that they have. They're treating it lightly. They're scoffing at it. They're mocking at it rather than being thankful for it. And it got to the point where it was time to go. And by the leading of God, not by the leading of the flesh, not because the pressure got too great, and we just can't take it anymore. No, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit, it was time to separate. So God will lead people in that direction at times. You know, the Bible says over in Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. Sometimes you got to cast out the scoffer. Sometimes there's things you won't be able to accomplish if you're around mockers and scoffers and people that won't believe in what God's doing in your life. And so sometimes there has to be a separation. But of course, we need to be sensitive to the Lord that he's the one doing it. Can you say amen? And so verse 12, it says, but God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. And of course, once Abraham got that revelation from God, God spoke it to his heart. It says in verse 14, so Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it, and then gave it, and the boy and Hagar gave it to the boy and Hagar and sent her on her way. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, this is very interesting. Here's Abraham. He's a wealthy man. He's got it all. And he took bread and a skin of water and said, hasta la vista, baby. And sent them on their way. I mean, there's no U-Haul. There was not, I mean, he didn't give them a whole bunch. Here's a skin of water, here's some bread, goodbye. Wow. She didn't come out of that divorce very good at all. She came out of it with nothing. So, they're going their way. Well, it wasn't long before the skin of water ran out. In verse 15, the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. So they've run out of water, they've eaten up the bread, and they're dying in the desert. Verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Then she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. Isn't that interesting? Here they are out in the desert. They think they're going to die. And, there's a well of water right there, but they can't see it. because they're so overcome with grief. They're so overcome with fear. They can't even see the provision that's right in front of them. That's a lesson right there. The cares of life will blind you to the provision of God. And there'll be provision right there in front of you. But if you yield to fear, if you yield to worry, many times you won't be able to see what is right there available to you to help you. So we got to stay in peace. Peace keeps your mind clear so that you can see the provision of God. And I believe Abraham was able to just give her the wine and the bread. And again, he was moving quickly. When God spoke to him, he acted fast. He didn't wait a week before he did what God told him to do. He moved quickly, sent them on their way. Here, didn't have time to pack a U-Haul. Just gave them some water and bread, sent them on their way. But I believe Abraham so believed God that God was going to take care of them because God had promised him that Ishmael's going to be a great nation, that he wasn't worried about him. He was able to send them on their way and not worry about what was going to happen to him because he knew what was going to happen to them. He knew everything was going to be all right, that God had promised he was going to watch over them and take care of them. And we have to remember, when we have family members we love, people that are close to us, we have to remember what God has promised us and not worry about them, worry about their life, worry about if everything's going to turn out okay. We got to come back to what God has promised and rest in him and know God's got my family members taken care of. He said that he would perfect that which concerns me. So he's taking care of what concerns me. I'm not going to worry about it. I think people do more damage to their children by worrying about them than they realize.
I'm just worried sick about my kids.
Well, that's great. That's great. You're not helping them. You're actually making things worse. You're making things harder for the kid and giving place to the devil to bring his will to pass for your child through your fear. So we got to get into faith. Say, praise God, hallelujah, I cast all my kids on the Lord. Are they your cares? I cast all my kids on the Lord. Well, if it's on the Lord, it's not on me anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, that doesn't mean you're not, you know, you cast your responsibilities on the Lord. But you cast the cares on the Lord. Not worry about it. Do what you know to do and trust the Lord with the rest. The Lord's going to take care of this thing. And I remember years back, we were at my house. I really don't have time for this, but I'm going to go there anyway. And I remember it was late at night. She was supposed to be home sooner than she was. I don't think there were cell phones back in those days. We didn't have a cell phone back in those days. Wow. And so I couldn't get in touch. My brother Alan was actually over with me. It was late at night. And we were talking, and I started feeling anxious. I'm like, where is she? Then my mind started seeing sirens in my mind, and flashing lights. You know, the devil, he'll give you all kinds of visions. So I'm seeing flashing lights, all these things. So I'm like, man, where is she? So I get up, you know, and I kind of walk outside. I'm looking outside. And so then I pray about it. I listen to my heart. Total peace. Nothing down here at all. I got total peace. So I went back inside. We started talking and things. And I start seeing the flashing lights. I look at the watch. My Lord, it's getting later and later and later. So finally, I get up again. You know, I go outside. Look, surely she's out here in the parking lot somewhere. And no, she's not out there. So I'm, you know, starting to get anxious. So I stop. I listen to my heart. Nothing. Total peace. My head starts screaming, but you got to listen to your heart. Because that's where God will speak to you. Devil will talk to your head. God will speak to your heart. So I come down and listen to my heart. Yeah, nothing. Praise God. So it happened a third time. About that time, I go, man, where is she? And my brother Alan looks at me. He says, you know, unless the watchman watches the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. You know, that's what the Bible says. It's Psalm 127, I think. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. I said, you're right. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord's watching the city. Praise God. He's watching her. And sure enough, she showed up. Praise God. She's still here today. She's actually ministering to somebody. Praise the Lord. But, you know, again, you know, that anxiety will come to your mind. Fear will come to your mind. But you got to come back. Listen to your heart, what God is saying, and follow what your heart is saying. Because I believe if something is going on that I need to know, I'm going to know it. He's going to show me. Because it concerns me, he's going to show me. So I'm not going to worry about it. So we got to follow our heart and not the anxieties that try to come at our mind. All right, chapter 22. We should probably stop there. Do it next time, huh? Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll pick that up next time. Amen? Why don't you stand on your feet? Let's thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.